Well, good morning. It's good to see you and good to be in the house of the Lord. And as we just saw there in that video, we're talking about small things, big difference. And sometimes, just like that girl, we can see the positives, and the very next moment we can see the negatives. We can talk ourselves out of things or feel bad about ourselves and just kind of go in the whole opposite direction and say, I'm no good, I can't do it. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about our thoughts. And last week I asked you to pray for one word, that God would give you one word to guide you and direct you in this new year to come. And so I asked you to pray that God, you know, give me a word that you'd lay upon my heart and that it would guide me and direct me, and then to attach a verse to that word. When he gives you that word, to attach a verse to it, to go to Google or a Bible concordance, and then put it on a note card, stick it on your mirror in your bathroom, and when you wake up in the morning, that word and that verse would guide you in your year to come. My verse was in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2, where it says, he was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all of God's house. And so I pray, God, help me to be faithful to you who have appointed me, and to your people in your house. Help me to do that and be faithful to you. And so that's what we talked about last week, and we're going to kind of build on that here today and in the weeks to come. Today I want to talk to you about your thoughts, our thoughts. Why are our thoughts so important? Why is what we think so important? Because our thoughts influence our words. Our thoughts influence our words. Our words influence our actions, and our actions influence our habits. And our habits can end up creating a destiny. In fact, Solomon says this about our thoughts. He says in Proverbs 23:7, as we put that up on the screen, he says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he," or "so he is." For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Your life, here's a key point for those of you who are taking notes on the back of your bulletin there. Your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Let me say that again. Your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. In other words, if you think I can't, you probably won't. If you think your life is going to be bad, it's probably going to be bad. If you think you don't have anything to offer, then you probably won't make a difference. On the other hand, if you believe you can or you think you can, you probably will. If you believe there are opportunities out there, you will see those opportunities. If you believe God is for you and that God is with you, then you will sense his presence and his power. So our thoughts matter. Our thoughts matter. Today, right now, I want you to do a thought audit. A thought audit. I want you to think about what you think about. You think about all kinds of things, right? We all have things that we think about. I want you to think about, what is it that I think about a lot? And there on the back of your bulletin is a chart, and we're going to put that chart here up on the screen, and it compares a few different categories. We'll start with the worry or peaceful, right? And there's a scale there from 1 to 10, and I want you to circle here in a moment. We're going to unpack these categories just very briefly. I want you to circle there in the back of your bulletin or mentally there, if you don't happen to have a pen, where you would fall on that chart. We have negative, positive, and then we have worldly, eternal. So let's start with the first part there in worry and peaceful. Last week, I want you to think about your week last week, or maybe even this week. What is it you worried about? What is it that was on your mind and on your heart this last week? Maybe it was your kids. Maybe it was your job, something at work, situation at work. Maybe it was the health of a loved one. Maybe it was finances. All the bills came in after Christmas, and you're like, we don't have enough money to pay for all this, and I don't know how we're going to do it, and this is crazy, and that's what you worried about. Or you were incredibly secure in the promises of God. You were incredibly secure in the promises of God. You have a supernatural peace that goes beyond what everyone else's ability to understand. You have a supernatural peace that goes beyond everyone else's ability to understand. Even when something bad happens, you believe God is in charge and you don't freak out. So that would be one end of the spectrum. You're worrying. The other end of the spectrum, you believe when something bad happens, God's in charge and you don't freak out. How about this next thing there on the chart? We'll talk about negative, positive. You know, some of you, and I would put me in this category because I can fall into this category. Some of us can have the gift of negativity, right? The gift of negativity. We can find what's wrong before we ever see what's right, right? We can find what's wrong before we ever see what's right, right? We can be easily critical of other people, assuming the worst a lot of times. We can be very discontented, saying things like, if only I was married, or if only I had kids, or you might say, if only I had different kids, right? Then I'd be happy, right? Then I'd be happy. On the positive side of that scale, you might always see the best in people, always see the best in life. A lot of you said to me today, well, you know, I see this as a beautiful day today. It is so warm today, right? It's 10 degrees out, and I'm like, warm? It's still cold to me, right? But you're positive, right? You're on that positive end. Or you walk into a church, and instead of picking the church apart, you're seeing where God is working, and you're like, wow, something special is happening here. Or if you have a bad day, you're all of a sudden like, you know what? It's a bad day, but I know that God is good. I know that He's with me. I know that He's for me. So where do you fall on that, on the negative or the positive? Let's look at this last line here in a scale of ranking between the worldly and the eternal. And ask this question. Are you consumed with the things of this life or eternity? Are you consumed with the things of this life or eternity? In fact, you may have noticed out there are small group tables. And Monica, my wife, is doing a book with the women, a study called Heaven. And we were talking about this last week, and she said to me, you know what? I think if we can get people thinking more about heaven in the world to come, that will change the way they think, that will change the way they act, that will change the way they live. I think this is going to be a great study for the women. And I said, I do too. By the way, I'm doing a plug right now is what I'm doing. We're starting a new series for the men, a video series called A Man and His Traps, and we're going to pick that up here in a few weeks after you sign up. We're going to start that, and it's a great video series for us as men to help us grow in areas that we might fall in sometimes and not live up to what God has called us to be. And so I want to challenge you to sign up for one of those groups out there. The tables will be out there this week, next week, in the week to come, and that's good stuff. So let me just say that. So are you consumed with the things of this life or eternity? Are you constantly thinking about what kind of car to drive? Or, as I do sometimes, what kind of clothes I'm going to wear? Such silly things. Are you saying, I wonder what people think of me? Do people like me? Or are you saying, how can I use my life to bring glory to God? My heart aches for people who are far from God. What can I do to show other people the love of God? How can I leverage my things and my possessions to make a difference in other people's lives? So which end of the scale would you fall on in these three categories? Let me say this. If you didn't circle 10, 10, 10, then this message is for you. Why? Because our thoughts always determine who we become. Our thoughts always determine who we become. So what are you thinking about? Because your life, our life, will always move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. So if you're consumed with worry, if you're always negative and you're always thinking about this life and this world and the things here, guess what? You're going to move in that direction. And let's be honest. Our world, our culture, and our friends, they drive us toward the wrong side of that scale. Right? They drive us toward the wrong side of that scale. There are so many things in this life and in this world that just scream out, worry about me. Think about that which doesn't last rather than what does last. I love this verse in Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, 2, as we put it up on screen, Paul says this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Don't copy and do what everybody else is doing out there today, but let God transform you into a new person by what? Changing the way you think. Let God transform you. You know, a lot of times we don't let God transform us, right? We put up our hands, we put up a wall, right? We don't allow him into our heart and into our life to let him transform the way that we think, right? But when we do allow God in, when we do allow him to speak to us, then you will learn what? You'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You know, God is not some killjoy. He's not here to take away your fun in life, right? But when you allow him to transform you, to shape you, and to change you, you'll learn that God's way is the best way, and it's perfect, and it's good, and it's pleasing. So here's the question. How can we change our thoughts? How can we change our thoughts? First point there is this. First, we have to capture destructive thoughts. We have to capture those destructive thoughts. There's a great passage about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. Paul says this, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God." And here's the key part. "And we take captive" what? "Every thought to make it obedient to Christ." We take captive. We grab those thoughts, take them captive, and make them obedient to Christ. Now let's unpack that. What does that mean? Satan is called what? The father of lies. He is the father of lies. And so he tries to convince us in our thought processes of things that aren't true. That's what Satan does. He wants to convince us of things that just aren't true. And so that our mind just runs with it, our mind just goes with it. Why? So that we can build a life on a lie rather than on the truth. Because when we know the truth, Jesus said, it will set you free. So, when we think about the wrong things, like Satan will plant in our heart and in our mind, "I'm no good. I'm a screw up. I'm a failure. I'll never be able to do it." You know what you do? You say no, and you take that thought captive, and you make that thought obedient to Christ. There's an app now, Truth or Trash app, and it is designed for children. And you can put in statements like this: "You will never make a difference in this world." What's that? That's trash. God doesn't love you. You know, and Satan will tell you these things. He'll try to plant them into your heart and into your mind. God doesn't love you after what you did this past week or this new year, right? You said you were going to start fresh. You're going to be start different. Well, you already failed. God doesn't love you. You can't make a difference. That's trash. You're special because you are created in the image of God. That's true, right? Now, you may have messed up, but you know what? God works out all things together for the good for those who love him. You know that? And so whatever situation you find yourself in your workplace, in your marriage, he is going to use that situation, that thing that happened in your life, to conform you into the image and likeness of Christ. And before you know it, he'll use it as a ministry so that you can minister to others who are going through and dealing with the same struggles you're dealing with. Oh man, I could never overcome this. I could never conquer this, right? I've been addicted for so long. You know what? That's just trash. The truth is this. You can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives you strength. You are an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. And so you take those thoughts that Satan wants to plant in your mind and in your heart, and you say what? I'm going to capture them. I'm going to change them. I'm going to make them obedient to Christ, and I'm going to speak the truth. Because the truth can set me free. And the best way to remind yourself of the truth is to renew your mind and to get into God's word. I have to renew my mind every day, right? Because this world and Satan just wants to beat me up. It wants to tell me who I'm not, and I have to remind myself who I am in God's eyes. So the first thing you got to do to change your thoughts is you got to capture those destructive thoughts, because they're going to come from all over. People are going to tell you you're not this, you're not that, you can't do this, right? No, you are who God says you are, not who other people say you are. Second, fix your thoughts on spiritual things. Fix your thoughts on spiritual things. Philippians 4:8, Paul says this, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is what? Excellent or praiseworthy?" Here, what? Think about such things. Think about those things. What happens when you think about things that are noble and true and right and pure and lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy? What happens? Well, God starts to transform you into the image and likeness of his son. You know this, here's a key point on your bulletin. Some of you here today are one thought away from having your life completely changed. You're one thought away. And somebody's going to give you that thought today, right? God is going to speak through them, and maybe it'll come through a friend, a family member, a loved one. They're going to give you a thought, and it's going to change the course and direction of your whole life. Right? The Holy Spirit will speak to you through his word. I'll tell you, this happened to me a few weeks ago. I was down. I was depressed. Satan was telling me, "You're no good. You know, you have no right to be here." And I mean, man, I was down. All right? Then I met with someone that I love and I respect. And he says, "No, you are good, Ed. And God is using you." And so what I had to do is I had to stop believing the lies that Satan was feeding me. Stop believing them and focus on the truth so that the truth would set me free. You might say, "Well, Ed, that's easy for you because you're a pastor." Listen, you will find what you're looking for. Take the difference between a buzzard and a hummingbird. A buzzard flies around looking for dead things, and a hummingbird flies around looking for good things, sweet things, nectar. So if you look for spiritual things, you're going to find spiritual things. How do you do that? How do you go about doing that? Well, when you wake up in the morning, I'll tell you the best thing to do is to set the tone of the day with something spiritual. Set the tone of the day with something spiritual. Instead of immediately going to your phone, right, and opening up the phone, who texted me, right? Right? You got to check my emails, you know, and see if I missed any phone calls. Open up God's Word. Let His Word be the first thing that you think about for the day. In fact, this past week I was counseling a good friend of mine, and I said to him, you need to get your mind in the Word of God. You're consumed with everything going on around you in your life, and you need to get your mind renewed and refocused on what's true. And so he said, well, I have trouble reading my Bible. I can't read. I'm just a bad reader. I said, okay, we're going to start simple. There's a book called Jesus Calling. It's one of the bestseller books out there today. It's so simple. It's a paragraph a day. And I said, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to buy you this book, Amazon Prime. I'm going to ship it to you. You'll have it here in 2 days. And I want you to, first thing you do is you get out of bed, I want you to read that day, that devotion, that one paragraph. I said, I want you to get into God's Word, but I want this to be a start, a leap point for you, because I believe God wants to speak to you through this book and through this devotion. By the way, that's a great little book. So, read a chapter in the morning or two and let your mind drift towards spiritual things. Pray this, God, I know this day that you've given me is a gift from you. I know this day that you've given me today is a gift from you. And I now give it back to you as a gift. Use me wherever you want, Lord. Help me. This is what I pray. Help me to be sensitive to your spirit. Right? Help me to see where you're working. And God, you have permission to interrupt me in my day, because it's not my day and it's not my life. I was bought with the price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not my own. I belong to you, Lord. So guide my thoughts today. Guide my words today. Lord, guide my actions today so that it brings glory to you. When you pray this prayer, when you pray things like that, you'll see good things, sweet things, nectar. And then when your boss chews you out, right? Instead of in your mind and in your thoughts flipping him off, you'll say, how can I pray for him or her today? Right? And suddenly when you see someone in need, instead of saying, I don't have time for this, you'll say, wait a second, maybe God wants to use me to make a difference in their life today. So where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? How do we make this a part of our lives? Remember what we started with last week. Last week I said this, right? Start with one word. Start with one word. Ask God to give you a word that would direct your year to come. And a lot of you know what that word is, right? Maybe it's believing. Maybe it's generosity. Maybe it's faithful. Ask him for a word. Now I want you to pray for one thought. One thought that you think over and over again until your mind is renewed, until it becomes truth in your heart and it changes the way that you live. One thought. Here's a thought that I had to learn to think. Here's a thought that I had to learn to think. Well, it sounds like a riddle or something, right? God has created me to help people who are far from him. Right? Seems simple, right? God has created me to help people who are far from him. He wants me to help them find new life in Christ. That's what he wants out of me. To help people who are far from him find new life in Jesus. God has ordained me. He has equipped me. He has chosen me, and I have everything I need to do what he has called me to do. Therefore, I will do my best to be faithful, that's my word, right? All right, these are my thoughts. Now here's my word. Therefore, I will do my best to be faithful to him and to his people. Now, I don't know what your thought's going to be. I don't know what your thought's going to be. But your thought has the power to change the course of your life, the direction of your life. Maybe your thought is going to be selfless. You know what? God is just laying that upon my heart that I need to be more selfless. Less of me and more of him. Maybe your word is generous. Generous. I am a generous person. You're not yet, but you're becoming one. Why? Because you truly believe that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so you keep thinking this thought over and over again. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And you know what? You will become a generous person. Maybe you're here and you may be discouraged today. You're discouraged. You remind yourself of the truth. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. It's not by might, it's not by force, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Maybe you got a bad marriage, right? And you just find it difficult to love your husband or your wife. And so you change your thoughts. I will love him or her with the love of Christ. I will serve him or her with the love of Christ. Right? I will love her like Christ loved the church. I'm going to change my thoughts, the way that I think. Peter thought that he could never be used by God again. That's what he thought in his mind, right? God can never use me after what I've done. It's over. Why did he think this? Well, you know the story. Because he denied the Lord not once, but what? Three times. And so after Jesus rises from the dead, he comes back to Peter, and what does he do? He reinstates Peter. In other words, he reminds him of the truth. Peter had gone back to fishing. Right? In John chapter 21, we see that he gathers the boys, he gathers the guys, and he says, hey, let's just go back fishing because it's over. I don't have a life. I don't have a ministry. I'm no good. God can't use me. He goes back to fishing. Jesus says, no, Peter, take care of my sheep. Right? Feed my lambs. Take care of my people. Here's the question. What thought do you need to get rid of in your mind that just isn't true? What thought do you need to get rid of in your mind that just isn't true? Satan is feeding you a bunch of lies. You're a failure. You're not this. You're not that. No, you are precious in the sight of God. You are precious in the sight of Christ. So you capture those thoughts and make them obedient to the truth of God's word, and you fix your mind on spiritual things. I was thinking about Moses in the book of Exodus there in chapter 3. He says, you know what, God, send someone else. I can't speak. I can't lead your people. I can't do it. And then as I was reading here in Acts chapter 7, by the way, Acts chapter 7, that's a great chapter. Acts chapter 7, it says, as Stephen was recounting the Old Testament, he says, Moses was powerful in both speech and in action. Moses said, I can't speak, I can't do it. But the reality was, he was powerful in both speech and action. Gideon, in Judges chapter 6, right? The Israelites were being oppressed by the Midianites, and Gideon was like, you know what? Somebody's got to do something. We need help. And an angel of the Lord appears to him and says, you're the man. And Gideon's like, well, I'm the man. I'm from the weakest tribe. And the Lord says, you're a mighty hero. I don't care what you think in your mind. Here's what you are, right? So you have to change your thought process, right? Don't believe the lies that Satan is feeding you, that you're not this, that you're not that, that you're a failure, that you have messed up. No, you are more than a conqueror through him who loves you. You are. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, I don't know Jesus. I don't know him. And if you were honest, you might say, my thoughts have been consumed with this life. I don't think about the life to come. And there's more worry in your life than you would like to be in your life. And there's no peace in your life. And maybe you're here and you say, Ed, I got to be honest, I'm kind of negative more than I'm positive. I'm kind of worldly. I think about me. I was reading Romans chapter 2 last night and just thinking about that. And it says, but the wrath of God, the wrath and anger of God comes upon those who live for themselves. And man, that just verse just pierced me. It just hit me. And I thought, man, I so live for myself. And I just stopped right there in the middle of that verse. And I said, God, help me. That it wouldn't be all about me and what I want, but it would be about you. Maybe you're here today and you say, Ed, that's how I've lived my life. All about me. I've set up everything so that it revolves around me, or I'm trying to get it to revolve around me. And I want to change. I want to start fresh. I want to start anew today. Well, you know what? In a minute, we're going to give you that opportunity to set things straight, to make Jesus Lord of your life, right? And you may not even understand all what that means, and that's okay. God will reveal it to you by His Spirit. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but when you showed me those scales, I got to be honest, I was on the lower end of those scales. And I realize my strongest thoughts are moving me in a direction that I don't want to move in. I don't want my life to be so consumed with what's going on here so that I lose focus of that which lasts and what's really important. Would you pray for me in the next few moments that God would give me the thoughts to remind me of who I am and what He's called me to be? That I would be that person that aches for people who are far from God? That I would use my life to bring glory to Him? That I would show other people the love of God this week? Because I got to be honest, I don't even think about those things. That I just go about my life and my day, and that this isn't even on my radar screen. Would you pray that God would be able to shift my focus and my thinking from the temporary to the eternal? Because the soul and the spirit is the only thing that lasts for eternity. And I'm so guilty of investing in the external rather than in the internal. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you guys, you look great on the outside, but on the inside there's dead man's bones, right? Like a whitewashed tombstone. Looks beautiful on the outside, but on the inside you're dead. Right? We put so much into this outside that we forget about what's inside. Maybe you say, Ed, that's me. I look so much at the outside of what's going around in my life and my work and my land and stuff that I forget about this. Would you pray for me? Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, we thank you for your word. It's challenging and it convicts us, and sometimes it steps all over our toes. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you say, Ed, I've had some destructive thoughts and tendencies in my life, and I need to put in my mind and in my heart good thoughts, things that are noble and true and right and pure and lovely, admirable and excellent and praiseworthy. I need Jesus in my heart and in my life. If that's you this morning and you want that, then I just want to help you and aid you in a prayer. It's not getting the exact words of the prayer, because man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And if that's you, then I would just ask you softly and quietly to repeat these words in your heart. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you. If you just pray that prayer, God will honor that prayer. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I'm on the opposite end of that scale. I worry too much. I'm too consumed with the things going on around me, and I'm just negative sometimes. Would you pray that God would change the way that I think so that I wouldn't copy the behavior and customs of this world? Because I want to think more about that which lasts rather than that which doesn't last. I want to have a heart that aches for people who are far from you. I want to have a heart that doesn't live for myself, but lives to see others come to you. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters that you would help them, that you would shape their minds and change them. Give them the thought to add to their word this week, a thought that you want them to think over and over again of truth, that it would become truth in their heart and it would change the way that they live. And we pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen.